you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark. We're in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, you'll recall that Jesus has begun his ministry and very, very rapidly his fame spreads throughout the land. Mark chapter 2, reading from the Christian Standard Bible, this is God's Word. When he entered Capernaum again after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. And he was speaking the word to them. They came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after digging through it, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does he speak like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Right away, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves and said to them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he told the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now, we know that we all have problems, right? Everybody in here has problems. I mean, that's not news to anybody. I'm not dropping a bomb. You weren't sitting there thinking, "I'm perfect. I don't have any problems at all. The only problem I have is that other people are jealous of me because I don't have any problems." No, we all have problems. We all have things that we wish were different. But some problems seem more severe to us than others. Years and years ago, when I was a young pastor in Atlanta, a fellow from a book publishing company came and met with me, asked if I would come to Nashville and meet with him, and he arranged lodging and food and all this. "To bring your wife, you know, we'll pay for the whole thing. We want you to do a book for us. We want you to write a book for us." And I thought, wow, this is great. And so we met, and sitting there over breakfast, he said to me, "Now, we want you to do a book, and what we want you to write about is basically dealing with suffering." And I said, okay. And I said, why did you pick that subject for me?" And he said, "Well, I mean, your skin condition, that's got to be really painful." My skin condition is vitiligo. If I get out in the sun, I look like a leopard. I didn't say leper. I said leopard. I get spots. I have areas where my autoimmune system has destroyed the melanin in my skin. And so as a result, I have blotchy skin. If you look, I try not to get very much sun, so it's not as evident. But there's sort of a line like this. All this area down here used to tan. I used to be able to get tan. Now I get blotchy. And if my face gets very much sun, I look like a raccoon. because the area around my eyes is white and the rest gets dark, except for this area around my mouth. Just to add a little, you know, interest to the design. So I have a skin condition, and it's real. And I laughed. I thought, man, you know, Michael Jackson, the late Michael Jackson, claimed to have vitiligo. He said that's why he had to have all his skin bleached so he'd be white all over. I'm not sure that was his motivation. Who knows? Not mine to judge. I think he had other bigger problems, though. I definitely have bigger problems than vitiligo. Okay? I mean, that's not much of a problem. And if I were to write a book in which I shared how, despite having vitiligo, I have carried on with courage each day, trying to do the things that I believe God has called me to do, I'm not going to let vitiligo stop me. You know, let me just tell you something. Some of our problems are obvious. That guy looked at me and thought, poor fellow. He's now dead. He had problems worse than vitiligo. I didn't kill him. I mean, he just... But, I mean, do you get what I'm saying? We've all got problems. Some of our problems are more obvious to other people, but whether our problems are big or small, obvious or hidden, we've all got problems. There was a guy who had a really obvious, severe medical problem. He was paralyzed. Now, I've got a son who's a paraplegic. That means that his legs are paralyzed. But I have a friend, Johnny Erickson Tata, some of you have heard of. And Johnny is a quadriplegic. That means she can't use her arms either. So she, when she paints, for example, she puts a paintbrush in her mouth. She puts a paintbrush in her mouth and she paints holding it in her mouth like this. That's incredible. That's overcoming problems. That's a person who can write a book about suffering. Okay? I didn't do the book, by the way, just in case you're wondering. I laughed. I guess they don't want you to write the book if you laugh at them. But I said no. Here's the thing. This guy was a quadriplegic, having to be carried, and anybody could look at him and tell what was wrong with him. Nobody said, what's his deal? Why does he get to ride around on a mat carried by four people? You know? Nobody said that. You could look at him and say, oh, that would be hard. He had four friends who cared about him deeply. They had heard about Jesus and the fact that he could heal. And they were determined to get their friend who was paralyzed to where Jesus was. But when they got to where Jesus was, he was surrounded by other people. And as a result, they couldn't get to him. Imagine, they had traveled a distance to get to Jesus, and they can't get in the building. Even the door was flooded with people standing, trying to listen to what Jesus was saying. Jesus wasn't standing at the front juggling. Jesus wasn't doing tricks. Jesus was teaching them. He was speaking the word to them, the scripture says. And as this huge crowd listened to hear what he had to say, these fellas realized, we're not going to be able to get inside. It's too jammed. But they weren't going to give up either. So they climbed up on the roof with this guy on the mat, and they went over to the area where they knew Jesus was down below, and they ripped up the roof. They literally put a hole in the roof over and in front of Jesus and lowered him down with ropes to right in front of where Jesus was standing. Now, how did they get the people out of the way? Well, you start tearing the roof off and people start going like this. So there was a little bit of an opening right in front of Jesus. They brought this guy down. And everybody who saw him thought, I know what his problem is. And you know what Jesus said to him? Jesus, seeing their faith, not just the faith of the guy on the mat, but seeing the faith of the people who'd brought him. That, by the way, is something for those of us who are praying for others to remember. Now, I don't think that person has faith. Well, then why don't you have faith? Why don't you start believing God's going to do something in that person's life? And so, seeing their faith, Jesus said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, suppose you're the guy on the mat. Where are you taking me? We're taking you to Jesus. Why? Because He has the power to heal. Okay, what do we want here? We want to be able to get up and walk. That's the plan. That's what we're looking for. That's what the guy on the mat was looking for. That's what the four people who took him up on the roof and ripped up the roof and lowered him down, that's what they were looking for. That's what the people in the crowd who had seen Jesus heal were hoping. Okay? Well, we've heard He can heal. Maybe He's about to do it. This would really be amazing. This would really be dramatic. Let's see what happens. And Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." That's not what I ordered. I'm sure this is a wonderful thing, but it's not what I was looking for. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus offered you only one thing, what would you want? $1 billion? What would you want? To be a famous athlete? What would you want? Do you have a health problem that you'd really like to have fixed? Would you like to be taller, shorter, heavier, thinner? What would you like? I wish my hair was straight. I wish my hair was curly. I wish my hair was still on top of my head. What do you long for? What do you wish? What would you like Jesus to do for you? There's nothing Jesus could have said to this man that is as wonderful as what He said. He calls him son, and He says, "Your sins are forgiven." You know, people can't look at you and tell if your sins are forgiven. They can tell if you're paralyzed, but they can't tell if your sins are forgiven. It wasn't an obvious problem, but it is a universal problem. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. And the wages of sin is death. The only way that our sins could be dealt with was by Jesus. He's the only one who could take away our sins. And that's why He came, was to save sinners. But you know what? That's not what most people are looking for. That's not what most people hope to get from God. Instead, we want our team to win. We want to be able to get that car. We want to be able to get that job. We want to be able to get that boyfriend or get that girlfriend or whatever it might be. We want to be able to save enough money, pick the right stocks. You know, come on, Jesus, please help me out here. Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." And that was the most marvelous gift He could give. There were some religious types who were there. And they didn't like that. They said, we can't tell. No, they said, "Blasphemy." Now, they didn't say it out loud. They just thought it internally. But Jesus knew what was going on internally. Let me tell you something. This is a newsflash. Jesus knows what's going on in your heart and mind right now. Not anything hidden from Him. Jesus knows what you're thinking. I have a guess, but Jesus knows. Okay? Jesus knows what's going on in your heart, in your mind, in your life, in your relationships. God sees. God hears. God knows. And Jesus knew what these religious guys were thinking, and so he said to them, "Why are you thinking that?" Now, would that be a little startling? Would that be a little off-putting? You know the guy does miracles, but you didn't know that he knew what was going on in here. Every now and then I see somebody who says something, and I'm wondering if after it comes out of their mouth, they go, "Oh, did I just say that out loud?" Because, you know, we all have thoughts sometimes that we don't want to say out loud. I've told you before about wanting to bark at the woman at the grocery store when she cut in front of me and then turned around and glared at me like a bulldog. Okay? I just wanted to bark at her, but I didn't do it. And I don't think she could tell that I wanted to bark at her because I try to present a pleasant demeanor. But sometimes when I look like this, it's not what I'm thinking. Okay? That's not being hypocritical, it's being polite. Because really, you don't need to know everything that goes on in my mind. God does, and that's enough. All right? There are countless times when I say things that I regret and I have to ask God's forgiveness. But I'll tell you something. There are countless times when I don't say something that comes to mind and I just realize, better not to say that. Well, Jesus knew what these guys were thinking. And so he looked at them and he said, "Why are you thinking that?" And then he asked them a question. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, "Get up and walk, take your mat and go home"? Well, actually, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. Why? Because nobody can tell if it happened. But if you say, "Take up your mat and go home," well, we're all about to know whether or not you're a miracle man. Okay? Everybody's going to be able to see if you healed this guy. Jesus said, "In order that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," and then he turned to the man who was lying there and he said, "I say to you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man was healed. Instantly. He didn't start to get better. He was instantly healed. God can do that. God can absolutely do that. The most dramatic physical healing I've ever experienced in my life was when I was in high school. I had had, for many years, chronic sinus infections, strep infections, and repeatedly had to be on penicillin. And on this particular occasion, I had been sick in bed, missing school, on antibiotics, on penicillin. I had a fever over 100. I had swollen glands that were palpable and sore. My throat was badly infected. My chest was, I had bronchitis with it. My chest was, you know, very noisy. And I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. I mean, it was completely stopped up. Couldn't do that. I got up out of bed to go to a prayer meeting. And the reason was because the guy who led that prayer meeting had a real ministry of praying and getting answers. And so I went down there and I sat in the meeting, and as usual, after we had worshiped the Lord a little while, he said, "Does anyone have any prayer requests?" That was routine. And I said, "Yes, I do." I said, "I've got a fever, I've got an infection in my throat, and a strep infection. I'm on antibiotics. My glands are swollen," described to him the symptoms. And he jumped up out of his chair. Usually he sat in his chair and just prayed. You know, he'd take the prayer request. "Okay, anyone else?" Dun, 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 dun. And then he'd pray. And amazing things sometimes happen. But on this occasion, when I told him what was wrong with me, he almost jumped out of his chair and came around, put his hands on my head, and I felt as if I'd just been hooked up to a car battery. Okay? It was a physical sensation of electricity going all through me. And suddenly, I could breathe through my nose. My throat wasn't sore. My lungs weren't noisy at all. And my glands weren't swollen. And I didn't feel feverish. All the symptoms went away instantly. Instantly. These were symptoms that had been verified by the doctor who gave me the penicillin. But now, instantly, all the symptoms were gone. Let's just say that made an impression on me. Okay? There's more to that story, but I will leave it there for now. I just want you to understand this isn't something that happened 2,000 years ago. But since that time, Jesus has kind of, you know, given up the healing thing. No, he still heals people in order that people might know that he has authority to forgive sins. He still heals people because, like the leper in the previous chapter, Jesus says he has compassion on him. He still heals people because he always does the will of the Father. And the Father knows what is best for each of us. Even if what is best for us is what happened with St. Paul, who had a thorn in the flesh and prayed 3 times that the Lord would remove it, pleading with the Lord to take away this physical ailment. And the Lord says, no, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God doesn't do what we want on demand. But let me tell you something. God is still very much at work. And sometimes it means healing, and sometimes it means we are better off dealing with a problem long term. But the thing that we all desperately need is God's forgiveness. Because all of us have sinned against Him. That's our big problem. Our big problem is not vitiligo. It's not a strep infection. Our big problem is not a heart valve that's defective and an aortic aneurysm. I've had that too. Now I can write a book. No. Let me tell you, if I want to do a book with my wife's help, I've done a number of them. You know the main point that I want everybody to get from each book? Is how they can find new life through Jesus Christ. He came and died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. And He rose from the dead and offers us an abundant life that lasts forever. That's what people need to know. Because everybody has that problem, and Jesus is the only solution for any of us. So Jesus said, in order that you might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. It wasn't that He didn't have compassion on this guy. He had compassion on him because He not only said, your sins are forgiven, He came to die for him. That's compassion. Jesus wasn't flippantly saying something. Jesus is the one who picked up the check. Jesus is the one who's going to pay the price for this man's sins to be forgiven, and for your sins to be forgiven, and for my sins to be forgiven. That's compassion. Sometimes we look at a person who's got a problem, like the guy who was paralyzed, and we don't see Jesus dealing with that. And we wonder, how can God let this suffering continue? Our perspective is really messed up. Because if we think spending years on earth in a situation of diminished health, we might call it, physically challenged, we might say, if we think that is the great, great tragedy, we are messed up. This life is so short. Everybody on this planet is going to spend forever somewhere. Let me say that again, and please get that. Everybody on this planet is going to spend forever somewhere. So our problem is that we need to be reconciled to God. And Jesus has provided a solution to that problem for all who trust in Him. There's not anybody anywhere who calls on the name of the Lord to be saved and God says, oh, no, sorry, not you. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, it is because God has drawn them to Himself. It is because God has done a supernatural work of grace. Our inclination is not to embrace the truth. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? And our inclination is to run when we hear the sound of God walking in the garden. That's our bent. We are inclined toward evil. We're born with a sin problem. We don't become sinners by sinning. We manifest our sinful nature by sinning. And so when I do the wrong thing, I'm doing what comes naturally. When I do the right thing, I'm doing what comes supernaturally. Okay? It is a work of grace. This guy had a problem, and everybody thought they knew what it was. Jesus saw the bigger problem, the more serious problem, and people had overlooked that because, after all, if we're honest, we've all got that problem, and only God can solve it. The interesting thing about the religious people who were inwardly critical of Jesus, who thought He was blaspheming, why would they say He was blaspheming? Because only God can forgive sins. Look at what they said. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Verse 7. Guess what? That's true. This is a great example of somebody who has a little bit of truth and comes to the wrong conclusion. Okay? Theologically, I have been trained, and I know that only God can forgive sins. Yes? Well, this man just said your sins are forgiven. Yes? Anybody want to guess who this man is? Who is this? That's the question that Jesus' disciples asked repeatedly throughout the years they followed Him. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey Him. Well, get a clue, fellas. Who is He? Thomas got it right after Jesus had risen from the dead. My Lord and my God. He is not just the greatest man who ever lived. He is God incarnate. The Son of God. And folks, let me tell you, He is alive. And you can know Him. And if you know Him, it makes all the difference in the world. That's what I want for you. I don't want you just to get information about Jesus so that you know more about Him. I want you to know Him. I want you to trust Him. I want you to love Him. I want you to follow Him and serve Him. He loves you. And that's why you're here. So let's pray. Father, thank You so much for every single person in this room. For the fact that You have brought us to this place for such a time as this. We pray that You would work in our lives for your glory. Thank you that you still have the power to heal and that you do what is best for your children, working all things together for the good of those who love you, who are the called according to your purpose. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.